Thank you, Pastor. Let's lift our voices again and thank him for what he has done in this house tonight. Can you give him praise for his blessings? Can you give him praise for his touch? What a mighty God you are, Jesus. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Great is the Lord, great is the Lord, great is the Lord, great is the Lord. Hallelujah. What a good God you are. What a good God you are. How many is happy to be in church tonight? Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesus talks about the saints that were at Ephesus and those who were in Christ Jesus. And there's a great difference between being at some place and in the place. There's a lot of folks who are at church, but they're not in church. They're at the house, but they're not in the house. They're at the restaurant, but they're not in the restaurant. Praise the Lord. They're at the hospital, but they're not in the hospital. And I'm happy tonight that I'm not just at church. I'm in the church. Hallelujah. Anybody glad that you are not just at church, but you're in the church? Woo! Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I want to take just a moment and say how much I appreciate your good pastor, his wife, his family, this church family. I love what I see going on in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm happy for what I see taking place at New Life. What an awesome God we serve. And there is absolutely no limitation. There is no limitation to what God can do among us if we just take all the restraints off of our God and just let him do his work. Amen. We can't put him in a box. We can't act like he can do it only our way. We just got to say, you do it your way. However you want to do it, when you want to do it, with whom you want to do it. Just let it be so, Jesus. Anybody feel that way tonight? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the beautiful accommodations, the beautiful basket, and all the kindnesses, the fellowship. I believe God's got some more good things in store for us here tonight in this house. One more time, clap your hands and give God some great praise. God bless you. If you're going to help me preach, you can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, looks like 100% participation here tonight. Thank God. I do feel that I want to deliver what I feel in the Holy Ghost, what's in my heart tonight. And I'm not going to be a long time, but I do want to say some things that I feel like God wants to say to some people here tonight and to help them. We're all in this together, and we're all trying to make it. We're all trying to be saved. I want to make the glory world. How about you? Amen. Amen. But when you read Genesis chapter 49, you're going to find in Genesis 49 the last conversation that Jacob had with his sons. And verse 1 and 2 tells us that he gathered all of his sons together. And he said, I want to talk to you about the things that are going to befall you in the last days. And he then said, come on and gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. I note a distinct difference here in his language in that he first says, I want to talk to you, you sons of Jacob, but who I want you to listen to and who I want you to hear from is Israel, your father. That is a distinct difference in those two names. Jacob being the supplanter, Jacob being the conniver, these men were the sons of the supplanter. He was the, they were the sons of, as you would call it, in many respects, the cheater. However, he said, when I talk to you, I'm not going to talk to you as Jacob. I'm going to talk to you as Israel. Because Israel is the man that's had an encounter with God. He has had an encounter with the Most High. And that encounter has affected him. If there's anybody that you need to listen to in the world tonight, it's a man that's had an encounter with God. There's a lot of folks out there that would like to fill your ears with all kinds of words, but my ears are only open to an Israel. I want to hear from a man that has had an encounter with God, and God has touched that man's life, and he's got something to say that's going to help me and help me walk with God. Amen. And so we notice in verse number 33 that when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, that he gathered up his feet into the bed, and he yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. So the indication here is that this was indeed the very last conversation that Jacob had with his boys. And so when he had their attention, he began to call each son by name. And in calling them by name, he then spoke to them about their identity. And then he also spoke to them about their future. I understand by scripture that this was not a new practice. From the very beginning, it seemed customary for a father to bless his sons. And in blessing his sons, he would give them an understanding of who they were. Isaac blessed Jacob in Genesis 27. And he said to him, your God is going to give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. People are going to serve you, and those that curse you are going to be cursed, and those that bless you are going to be blessed. Whenever Esau came in and realized that his brother had gotten the blessing of the firstborn, he cried out to his father and said, don't you have a blessing for me? What is my future? And how am I going to navigate my life? And his father spoke to him and said, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And he spoke about his relationship with his brother and ultimately how that he would reach a point of dominion, and there would be a breaking of the yoke from off his neck. And so these things were things that were done in those times. Jacob began to speak to these boys, and he talked to Judah. He said, Judah, you're a lion's whelp, but I'm also going to tell you that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, you're a fruitful bough. But I'm also going to tell you that there's going to be blessings that are going to come your way. Blessings of the deep that lieth under. And blessings of your father that has prevailed, that are going to prevail above the blessings of my progenitors. Great things are in store for you. And then other sons he spoke to, he called Zebulun, a haven for ships. He said, Issachar, you're going to be a burden bearer. Dan, you're going to be a judge. And Asher, you're going to be like a merchant that delivers fine food. Benjamin, you're going to be as a wolf. And so in the blessing that he was given to them, he gave them their identity and spoke about their future. Now there's a lot of things, noble statements in chapter 49 that we could utilize to preach to to us in our generation and help us recognize the works that God wants to do in our life. But the one tonight that I want to focus on is in the chapter, in verse 19 of this chapter 49. He said, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Gad, this is who you are. You're a troop. As a matter of fact, when you were born, your mother said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. So I'm telling you, Gad, you are a troop, but I'm also going to let you know that a troop shall overcome you, but you shall overcome at the last. What Jacob was saying to Gad was essentially this. I'm telling you that you are going to be overcome, but in the end, you are going to overcome at the last. Gad, you were born to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Gad, I'm telling you that you might be down, but you're going to get up again. I've come to tell you that there are going to be times that things are not going to go your way. You're going to suffer defeat, but you're going to come back. There's going to be times that you lose the battle, but you're not going to lose the war, because Gad, you were born to be an overcomer. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I want to talk to somebody in the house. You were born to be an overcomer. That's what I want to preach to you for a few minutes in this place. You were born to be an overcomer. You were not born to be defeated. You were not born to lose the war. You were not born to always be down, but you were born to rise up. You were born to be victorious. You were born to win the battle. You were born. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You're going to notice, as I have already mentioned, that in speaking to these boys, he gave them their identity. And we are living in a time, in a generation, when absentee fathers are producing children who have no identity. They are finding their identity from other sources. They're finding their identity with the gangs. They're finding identity with protest groups. Hollywood is giving them their identity of who they are. And the sports world is lending to many their identity. But I have come tonight to tell you that while you may not even know who your father is, that there is a heavenly father that wants to give to you an identity. He wants to help you understand who you are and what you are. Clap your hands and praise him. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So what I'm preaching a few minutes tonight is that while sometimes a heavenly father or an earthly father may have failed to help you understand who you are, and while an earthly father may have failed in giving you an understanding about what your future can be, I've come to preach to you about one tonight that will give to you an understanding that you are not born to be a loser. You're born to be a winner. You are not. Woo, hallelujah. You were not born to go to hell. You were born to go to heaven. You were not born to be lost. You were born to be saved. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I said, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm telling you, you were not born, amen, to lose. You were not born to be defeated. You were not, oh hallelujah, somebody help me in the house tonight. Hallelujah. You see, here's the thing you got to understand. When Gad was spoken to by his father said, Gad, a troop is going to overcome you, but you will overcome in the end. Now, I'm just going to tell you tonight, I can face whatever I have to face as long as I know I'm going to overcome in the end. Gad, you can deal with your problems because you're going to overcome those problems. Gad, you can deal with your trouble because you're going to overcome that trouble. I want to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel like there's some folks in the house that you're struggling with your identity. You're struggling with who you are. You're struggling with whether or not you can overcome and whether or not anything was ever going to come to fruition in your life that has any eternal value. Well, let me tell you, you get connected to Jesus Christ. You get born of God. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. You get baptized in Jesus' name, and it changes who you are. You're not a son of Jacob any longer. You're a son of Israel. You're not born of the flesh. You're now born of the Spirit. You're born to be an overcomer. Woo, hallelujah. You're born to win the battle. You're born to win over drugs. You're born to win over alcohol. You're born to win over pornography. You're born to win over every struggle that you have in your life. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That sounds to me like we're winners tonight. That sounds to me like we were born to be overcomers. It sounds to me like that God's trying to tell us that all of these things are going to come our way. We're going to deal with all these kinds of circumstances and situations. Hell sometime is going to come in like a flood. But the Spirit of the Lord that is within you is going to raise up a standard against him again, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to say it again and again tonight. As sons of God, we were born to be overcomers. I wasn't born again of water and spirit to merely backslide. I wasn't born again to walk out of the church. I was born to be an overcomer. No matter what hell throws at me, I was born to overcome every obstacle. When you're born to be an overcomer, it doesn't mean that you're never going to have a problem. It means when you have a problem, you'll overcome the problem. It doesn't mean that you're never going to fight a battle. It means you're not going to lose the war. Hallelujah. Some folks think coming to God, that once they come to God, all their problems are going to be fixed. All their troubles are going to be over with. And it's going to be a bed of roses. And we're just going to enjoy life for the rest of the days that we have to live. That's not always the case. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And people in this world have problems. In this life, the scripture said, you're going to have trouble. Job said, a man that is born of a woman is full of days, a few days, and full of trouble. All I'm telling you is that when you're born to be an overcomer, it never means that you're never going to be down, but it means that when you're down, you'll get back up again. Hallelujah. I like what Moses did. Moses spoke to the sons of Jacob, calling them by name. And here is what he said about Gad. He said, blessed be he that enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lion and tears the arm with the crown of the head. Here's what Moses is saying to the rest of Israel. Gad is an overcomer, but blessed is the man. Blessed are those who enlarge Gad. Blessed are those who encourage Gad. Blessed are those who tell Gad, come on, Gad, you're an overcomer. Get up from where you are. Let's go back to battle again. You may be beaten and bruised, but I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to tell you what I want to be tonight. I want to be an encourager of the overcomers. I want to enlarge the overcomers. I've not come tonight to tell you that you're not going to make it. I've come to encourage you and let you know that God's got a promise, that God's got a future, that your world can be greater than it's ever been as you walk with God. Bible tells us about about Jeremiah, and how that Jeremiah, because he preached, the king had a visit from four men, and they said, we don't like this preacher. We don't like what he's preaching. So we want to put him in the pit. And so four men took Jeremiah and they put him in the pit. It was filled with mire. He sunk down into the mire, the scripture says. But there was another man who said, this is not right. This is not the way things ought to be. He went to the king and said, I want permission to go get that prophet of God out of the pit. I want to draw him out of where he is. And so it was, the scripture says, that the king told this man, he said, take 30 men with you and go and get Jeremiah out of the pit. Now, I hope you just did a little calculation there and understand that all it was four men that put him in the pit. But it took 31 men to get him out of the pit. It doesn't take much to get somebody down. It doesn't get so much to discourage somebody. It doesn't take a lot to put somebody in the pit, but it takes a whole lot more to get them out of the pit. But I've come to tell you tonight, if you're going to count me in one of the crowds, count me in the crowd of the 31 that says, I'm here to get you out of where you are. Huh? I'm here to help you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm not here to put you down. It doesn't matter to me that you've been in and out 12 times. Amen. That you backslid and come back. I'm still here to tell you, you can make it. You were not born to be a loser. You were born to be a winner. Blessed is he that enlarges God. Blessed is the saint of God that encourages another saint. Blessed is the child of God that goes to somebody struggling and looks at him and says, come on, you were born to be an overcomer. Oh, hallelujah. You're not going to stay where you are. You're going to get up from where you are. The righteous man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up again. He doesn't stay down where he's at, because there's something in the righteous man that says, this is not where I belong. I don't belong down. I don't belong out. I don't belong face down in the mud. I was born to be an overcomer. And then I like what is said about Gad in 1 Chronicles 12. He said, and of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler. That's the kind of men that the Gadites were. They were men of might. They were men of war fit for the battle, and they could handle both shield and buckler. But here's what I like, what is said about them, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and who were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Now, the thing that I note here is that they are tight on one hand as the predator, and on the other hand as the prey. The lion is the predator, and the roe, the deer, is the prey. A deer doesn't prey on anything. It constantly guards its life. It constantly observes its surrounding. It's constantly looking for any kind of danger to its welfare. The lion is the predator. And when I looked at that, I thought, he's not really talking so much about the fact that they're the predator and the prey, but what he's talking about is a characteristic that he's trying to communicate, that a real overcomer has the face of a lion. The real overcomer has a laser-like focus. The real overcomer says, nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to get in my way. I've got a prize I'm reaching for. I've got a goal I'm pursuing. Let me talk to you, Gad. If you really want to overcome, you got to get that laser-like focus that says, I'm living for God. I'm living for God in the face of everything hell can throw at me. I'm going to be faithful to God in the face of all doubts and unbeliefs. I'm going to keep a focus. And at the same time, an overcomer is like the prey. It's like the roe, who is always looking, who's always being careful. He hardly makes a step without looking. If you have been in the woods, and I'm in Alabama, and so I got a pretty good feel that some of you guys know what I'm talking about. But if you've been in a deer stand and you've watched the deer as it makes its way through the forest, it's watching, it's looking, its ears are perked, its eyes are searching, because he wants to be aware that if there's anything out there that he can guard himself against certain death. And the man or the woman that overcomes is the man or the woman that looks at their surroundings and says, I want to be careful with every step I take.
I want to be careful with where I'm going. I want to be careful with the direction I'm taking. I want to be sure that wherever I am, it's not a place of danger.
I want to be careful. Because you see, you can't be too careful living for God. I said, you can't be too careful living for God. You can't be too careful with your soul. Well, hallelujah. Some folks look at us and say, y'all are in bondage. Y'all are, oh, hallelujah. No, we're not in bondage. We're just real careful what our eyes see and what our ears hear. We're just real careful where we put our feet, because every place that we step in this world is not always a safe place to step. And every place that we can find ourselves is not always a safe place to be. That's why there's some places I'm not going to go to. And there's some things I'm not going to do, because I want to have the spirit of the roe that says I'm observing, I'm watching, because I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to lose my life. I don't want to lose my walk with God.
And along with that is the roe, the deer, that when he senses danger, hallelujah, he don't just stand there and stare at it. He doesn't see how close he can get to that danger without it becoming a harm to him. I've been in the deer stand. I know what it is to be sitting very carefully waiting. I was the predator. Hallelujah. I was ready. And I've been in the deer stand when I heard them coming up behind me. And I heard them making those careful steps. And then I turned very carefully to look to see where they were. And I noted them that they're looking. And you know what they're doing? They're looking at the very place where I'm sitting. They know there's something different about that deer stand that hasn't been the way it was in the past number of days or weeks. It might have been there a long time, but now there's a sense. And the thing I have heard more times than I care to remember is all of a sudden a snort and a turning of their white tail and running as fast as they can. I want to tell you about an overcomer. When danger comes, you got to learn how to run. You got to learn how to get out.
You got to flee youthful lust. Fleeing youthful lust doesn't mean you sit around and play games with it. It doesn't mean you sit around and toy with it, trying to see how far you can go without going too far. Oh no, when you suddenly realize that the enemy is bringing temptation your way, that's when the overcomer says, I'm out of here, boy. Amen. Some of us tonight ought to tell the devil, if you're running after me, you're going to have to run faster than that.
There's an old story about Africa that says every morning in Africa, a lion gets up and starts running. And every morning when the sun comes up, at the dawning of the day, a gazelle gets up and he starts running. And he said, the lion is running for a meal and the gazelle is running for his life. And he said, the moral of the story is, every morning when the sun comes up, you better be running. Hallelujah. You better be running. And I made my mind up a long time ago that, devil, you're not going to catch me. Woo, hallelujah. Catch me if you can, but you're not going to catch me, because I've got feet as swift as a roe, and I've got eyes and a face like a lion. I know what I want from God. I know the prize I'm reaching for, but I'm also understanding that sometime I gotta run for my life.
But I want to wrap this up tonight by telling you about the greatest danger to an overcomer. The greatest danger to an overcomer we find in the example in the Old Testament. When Israel had traveled for 40 years through the wilderness, and at the end of those journeys, as they were about to cross over, it was Reuben and Gad that came to Moses and said, we would really like to camp on this side of the river. We want to stay on the east side of Jordan. We don't want to cross over to the west side. We don't want to go into Canaan's land. We don't want to go in the land of promise. And this is the one time I read about Gad and how that Gad come up short. Gad never crossed over Jordan and took possession of his inheritance in the land of Israel, but he remained on the east side of Jordan. And the question bears asking, why? Why, Gad? Why did you not go into the land of promise? Why did you not lay claim to everything that God had planned for you? Why did you stay on the east side of Jordan? Why did you remain in the place that you were in? What was the purpose? What was the reason behind all of it? And I really believe that we can find the reason in chapter 2 of Numbers, where we note how that the camp of Israel was laid out. There were 3 tribes to the north, 3 tribes to the south, 3 tribes to the east, and 3 tribes to the west. Every day that they traveled in a formation that they followed the same pattern every time. And when they stopped the camp, then that's exactly where that they camped. You had 3 tribes that were assigned to the east side and 3 that were assigned to the west side, and the same for the north and the south. It is in chapter 2 of Numbers that we find that Gad was camped beside the camp of Reuben for 40 long years in the wilderness. Well, who was Reuben? I'll tell you who Reuben was. Reuben was the one that his father looked at him and said, "Reuben, you're the excellency of my strength." He said, "But Reuben, you got a problem. You're as unstable as water, and you will never excel." I am convinced tonight that the reason why that Gad chose to stay on the east side of Jordan was because he camped around the wrong people for 40 long years. He camped around the unstable. He camped around those that would never excel. And I gotta come to you tonight and tell you that your greatest danger as an overcomer is dependent upon who you camp around, who you fellowship with, who you spend your time with. Oh, come on now. Hallelujah. Young man, young lady, you want to be an overcomer. You can't hang around carnal young people. You can't hang around unstable young people. Your best. Your best friend can't be the one that's always pushing the envelope. Your best friend can't be the one that's always on the edge, that's always out here, amen, trying to see how far and how close to the world that they can get without being in the world. Can I get a witness? Come on, I feel what I'm preaching here tonight. Amen. I don't believe I'm off track. I don't believe I'm out of the will of God, because I believe in the Holy Ghost. That every one of you that have ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, you were born to be an overcomer. Gad was born to be an overcomer. Gad was born to have the victory.
But Gad spent 40 years listening to Reuben. Gad spent 40 years marching with Reuben. Gad spent 40 years camping out beside Reuben. And when it came time to claim the promise, he didn't have enough about him to overcome the spirit of Reuben. Amen. I have a feeling that it was Reuben that said to Gad, "You know, Gad, we've been together for 40 years. Why don't we just stay over here on this side of Jordan?" Gad ought to have looked at him and said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, boy. Reuben, we've been running together and I like you, but I'm going over. I'm not staying over here. I refuse to be overcome by your instability and by your lack of excellence and the fact that you're never excelling. You're not going to keep me back." And there's nothing wrong with being kind and being friendly. Nothing wrong with telling someone, "I love you, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to the movies with you." Well, hallelujah. And that's not just true for young people. It's true for young marriage. It's true for middle age. It's true for elders. It's true for every age group, for all of us. What we got to decide is, I'm camping around the preacher. Oh, glory to God. I'm camping around the man of God. I'm camping around a Holy Ghost-filled church. I'm closing. When Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, he was assigning everybody their position. And he said, "I want everybody with a sword or with a weapon in one hand and a tool of construction in the other. Because I want you all to understand, we can't build a wall with the weapons of war, but we can build a wall with the tools of construction. But I do want you to have a weapon close enough so that if you're attacked while you're trying to do what's right and build this wall, you can respond to the attack. You've got something to fight with." But here's what I like about Nehemiah's words. He said, and I'll tell you who I want standing right beside me. He said, "I want the trumpet blower. I want the man with the trumpet to stand by me. Because the kind of person I want to keep company with on this wall while we're building is the man that's looking out for danger. And the man that's watching over everything going on. And he's the man that when he sees the adversary coming, he lifts the trumpet to his lips and he blows the sound of an alarm that the enemy is on his way." What he was saying was, "I want as my partner. I want as my companion. I want as the man that stands by me to be the trumpet blower." Well, you know, the word of God likens preaching to the blowing of a trumpet, or the blowing of a trumpet to preaching, however you want to say it. But the fact of the matter is, if there's anybody I want to be a friend in my life, if there's anybody I want to camp around, I want to camp around the trumpet blower. I want to camp around somebody that knows how to warn me when danger is at hand. I don't want to camp around somebody who's always saying, "Come on, man. Just a little bit. Just a little bit won't hurt. Just one night out won't hurt. Just one occasion, praise the Lord. It's not going to hurt to miss one Sunday night. And let's just go have us a little get together somewhere." You need to be saying, "Wait a minute, hang on a second. Reuben, if you want to go somewhere and miss church on Sunday night, you go ahead. But I'm going to Canaan's land. I'm going to the land of promise. I'm going to where my help is. Because Reuben, my name is Gad. I was born to be an overcomer." I was born to win. Amen. I have felt a very strong feeling in my spirit tonight that the Holy Ghost in this house is reaching for some young people. Hallelujah. That you've been camping around Reuben. You've been camping around the wrong crowd. And because of that, you're finding yourself distracted. You don't have that lion-like focus any longer. Your feet are not feeling that skittishness that says, come on, I got to get out of here. I got to disconnect myself from this. I got to remove myself from this influence. And I really feel like tonight that there's somebody in this house that you've been watching this church worship and you've been watching this church praise God and you've seen people reach out and get a touch from God and you've been saying, man, I'd like to be like them. I'd like to be like them. And you've heard me preach and you're saying, I want to be an overcomer. Well, let me tell you what you got to do to be an overcomer. You got to turn your back on the crowd that's influencing you. You got to turn your back on the folks that's steering you the wrong direction. You got to turn your back on the drug world. You got to turn your back on this licentious society. You got to quit hanging around the folks that keep leading you astray. If you want to be an overcomer tonight, the first step is you got to get born again. Because when you are born a son of God, you're born to be an overcomer. I don't care how many folks backslide, you're still born to be an overcomer. Doesn't matter how many prodigals walk away from the Father's house, you're still born to be an overcomer. And as long as you can retain the realization in your mind, I've been born to be an overcomer, then it won't matter what you have to face. You can face anything as long as you know in the end, you're going to be victorious. In the end, you're going to overcome. You're going to rise above it. And while we're standing here tonight, I feel a call of the Holy Ghost. I feel a strong call of the Spirit. There has been a very strong call of the Holy Ghost already in this service tonight. And I feel that continued call. I feel a call toward a younger generation, toward young marriage. I feel a call toward those that you struggled. Amen. You know you're in a good church. You know that you're in a good camp. You know that you're in the right place. But there's been a struggle going on in your spirit because there's been some voices in your ear saying, you know what? You don't really have to do everything and be everything. You can just, listen, if it's only a river that separates you, you're still close. You're close to Canaan's land. You're just across the river. That's all. And the enemy will do everything in his power to keep you just this side of the glorious victory that God wants you to have in your life. He wants to keep you just short. He doesn't care how close to the church you are as long as you're not wholeheartedly in the church. Am I right? He doesn't really care how near that you are. He doesn't care how much you come to church as long as you're not fully sold out. But when you start understanding who you are and what your identity is, you make up in your mind, I got news for you. If a thing God's got for me, I'm going after it because I'm an overcomer. If I've got to charge hell with a bucket of water, I'll do whatever I've got to do because my mind is made up. I was born to be an overcomer. While the worshipers, while the singers are worshiping tonight, praise singers are magnifying God in song, I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that'll step out and say, I was born to be an overcomer. And I know I've been fighting for everything I'm worth, but I made my mind up tonight. I'll keep fighting because I know what I was born to be. I was born to be victorious. I was born to overcome. I was born to rise up against everything that comes against me. I was born. A troop may run me over, but I'll get back up again. Gad You're going to get down, but you're getting up again. Gad, there's a troop going to overcome you, but you're going to overcome at the last. Anybody want to step out of your seat tonight and walk down here and say, Holy Ghost, give me that lion-like focus. Give me that swiftness. Praise like an overcomer praises. No matter what your battle has been, praise Him because the victory is on the way.